WABTC.
W8RPM, WJ8R mobile. WJ8R clear.
KC9WNU, hang off to be mile over here. That's all I need. KC9WNU clear.
KC8VSU, 442.5, DMR.
KE8UDH, monitoring. Kilo Echo 8, Uniform Delta L, monitoring. KE8UDH, clear.
KI7QMD, testing on DMR.
KC8VSU on 442.5, DMR repeater on the North Michigan link.
KC8VSU, KI7QMD, just testing DMR to software upgrade on my DMR radio. How are you reading me?
I'm reading you fine. I'm on my DMR handheld here at the house.
Perfect, thank you. Yeah, I just added satellite to my Baofeng Tech 6x2. Got to play with that, but I wanted to make sure the other features were working first.
Okay, yep. Nope, I'm going in through handheld to the 4425 in Traverse. Okay, talk to you later. KC8VSU.
KI7QMD, 73, thank you.
W8RPM mobile.
Good afternoon, old man. How are you doing? K8SPW.
Oh, I'm okay. I'm over in the Hillman, Atlanta area. How's my signal?
Sound great. Very solid.
My repeater's super strong. It's not in the corner. It's about a fluttery three-quarter scale, but it's still very strong considering, it's probably 40 miles away, maybe more. Nice day out here. Cold as hell, but bright sunny day, couple days in a row, million sleds everywhere, and I mean everywhere. My God, they're like ants. But that's okay. I want their money.
Alrighty. Well, I was just sitting here shopping for a mouse for my sweetie for her laptop. Looking at either a trackball or something like that. She doesn't want a regular mouse.
Microsoft made one. It was not ambidextrous, and I don't think she's left-handed, but it was right-handed only, but it was like this molded kind of tall thing with a trackball on it that you worked with your thumb. So, I liked it, but ultimately I ended up having to go back to a left-handed mouse because, surprise, I'm left-handed.
Yep, so am I. All great people are left-handed. Of course, it doesn't mean all left-handed people are great, but you get the drift. We sat down at the breakfast table on the way to Dayton one year. There was 10 of us. One guy was right-handed.
That's funny. Yeah, I usually want the outside table or chair, because that way I'm not disturbing anybody, by eating with my left hand. So, it is weird. There are some very famous, very intelligent people that were left-handed, but, I guess you can make whatever argument you want or whatever statistic you want. Left-handed right-brained. proven. And, you know, the different sides of the brain are in control of different functions and skills, and it's weird. I've got a little bit of ambidextrousness in me. I mean, a lot of sports things. I throw a ball right-handed. I bowl right-handed. But, you know, I eat with my left hand. I shoot with my left hand. I can golf either way. I'm a little better golfing right, but I can golf with left-handed clubs. I can play tennis with either hand. Again, a little better right-handed. But, I think this is probably the warmest part of the day, and the car says it's 14. It was 6 when I left the house this morning.
Yeah, it was 1 degree when I got up this morning, and we got 15 now, so... supposed to warm up again tomorrow. We'll see how that goes. Tomorrow, Monday, but they're also saying we may get some snow, too, so... Oh, Christy says up to 3 inches. Ouch.
I was going to say, I saw that, too. Matter of fact, it says snow starting in supposedly an hour or so, at least over here. I'm in Montmorency County at the moment. And then from here, I got to go to Rogers City, and then I'll be on my way home. So, but it's a pretty day right now, you know. Clear blue skies, puffy white clouds, sunny. Just cold, you know. Roads are good, at least for now. Hopefully I can get home before it changes any.
Yeah, roger that. I went out yesterday and got gas. Come down there to Ken's. I had a 40 cent off a gallon. So I wound up getting gas for $2.59. They were 10 cents cheaper at regular price than the station here was, so it was definitely a worthwhile drive. I took my haircut, but that guy only takes reservations, no walk-ins.
Yep, that is Josh's business model, and it works for him. He only works, I think, like 8 till noon or 9 till noon on Saturdays, off Sunday and Monday. And, you know, when you're the only game in town, which he really is as far as men's barbers go, you know, you can go to one of the women's salons and pay $25 or $30. I think he's up to, I don't know, what, 21 now, 20, 21? But he's a good guy. He's our secretary at the Sportsman's Club. Ken actually was the guy that brought him in, so. But he wants off the board. He's got little kids. And he doesn't really live close by. He lives in some township up by Pelston. So it's not like he's, you know, he used to belong to the Sheboygan Sportsman's Club, but ours is nicer and cheaper, I guess.
Yeah, there's walk-ins with two guys cutting hair up in Sheboygan. I've gone up there usually, but I have to be in town, and it's open. I don't know why he bothers with a sign if he's not taking any walk-ins. But to each their own, I guess. And it was at $21 if you're over 65. So if I go up to the one in Sheboygan, I think it's 15. I always give them a tip. So
actually, those guys in Sheboygan, I think they're in his old shop in that little strip with, I think there's maybe like a computer repair place, and I don't know what else. But well, I found the Mount Morenci County Airport. I don't know if it was lost or not, but I found it. So. Anyhow, I'm on about a 2-mile final, so I got to look for an address here. But I won't be here long, and hopefully I'll be back in the car shortly, so I'll give you a yell back if you're still around. That's PW from W8RPM.
All right. You have a good day. I'll talk with you later. Be out amongst those 73 KSPW.
at MJL Mobile. WJ8R.
W8RCM. I guess you get pretty good coverage from 500 feet in the air.
Yeah, no kidding. WJ8R.
You know, there's an unused UHF stick on that tower that I was thinking about taking the little Roger Peter over there, but I gotta either coordinate it or at least reprogram it, because there's that other repeater in Mansalona, and a couple hundred feet up like that, those sticks would be looking at each other.
Yeah, you know, I just found out, well, I knew this, I guess, for a long time. Tim, N-A-D-U-Y, Tim, his 145.15, he doesn't coordinate it with anything. He's had it there for, he's been on that tower for 30-something years, and they don't list him anywhere.
Really? Well, downstate it's even more important. Up here it's not that big a deal, although VHF up here is full. It's just the coincidence of them landing on that frequency, you know, and it being the same as mine. It's just, are you kidding me? You know, UHF is so absolutely wide open up here. You know, there's a million vacancies in 442, in 443, in 444. You know, you could coordinate another 100 repeaters up here. Of course, it ends up landing on the one that I'm already tuned and programmed, you know.
Is that the same as my node? Is it 446?
Oh, it's the same as the Dearborn radar.
Oh, got it. Okay. Yeah, I was going to bring my note up, and I thought, I'm only going to be up there a couple days with Julie, you know, and then when I saw my tank was down, I called them up, and they said, oh, we can be out Tuesday and hook the new one up. I go, okay, I'll stick around.
You guys obviously drove separately then. All right, I get it. Oh, that's cool. Man, I got the Sunday church drivers out here, though. At a 55-mile-an-hour two-lane, and everybody's doing 30, but they look like they're 90, which is why they're doing 30. Nice day today. I mean, it's only 16 degrees here, bright and sunny. This is the second sunny day in a row, which is really odd. Really odd for January and February, but lots of critters today. I saw a huge flock of turkeys. I'm seeing deer out in the fields. They're saying 3 more inches of snow today, but hopefully I get home before it starts.
Yeah, I saw that. I thought it was supposed to be tonight and then into tomorrow. That's why I told Julie, be careful when you go home. Yeah, she had a meeting. She had a client in Saginaw. I followed her up, and she broke off there, and I came on up, and then she came up later, and she's going home early. And that's the rest of the story. I did talk to, I was texting Buck earlier. He was asking me what was going on and told him we're sitting at the bar at Callie's. And anyway, it's fun. It's really nice up here. It is beautiful. It's nice and sunny out. It's only like 13 degrees or something, but I had, you know how your tires get low? Let me buy a second. Tires get low when it gets below 20 or 15 degrees, and one of my tires was low and stopped in Gaylord when we went to the store, and the stupid thing, you put your credit card in, it wouldn't pump the tire up. I'm like, son of a gun. So I came home, fired up my compressor, and, you know, always got to do it yourself. But anyway, yeah, there's some guys on 28367, I think it is. Yeah, 367. Down in Florida, and one guy in Missouri, and when I was at in the shack at home here a couple days ago, they were booming, and I was like, oh, man, they could hardly hear me, and I was running, 600-700 watts. I'm like, all right, time to start playing with antennas again, but too cold to get out there and do it now, but I'm going to try them from up here and see if I can get them.
You know, 10's really been hopping, 6 and 10. Yeah, that's one thing I like about that ham clock is the thing shows you propagation. And and it really has been going to town. 10 meters has been going crazy. So I got this. I got a buddy. He might even be listening. He got the guy that took his general at the Gaylord swap last year, and he's just got a little fan dipole up that he built, 3 bands, but it's been doing real well for him. Lots of DX.
Outstanding. Come spring, do you have any antennas planned? You need some help doing something?
No, I want to get more wire up, and I got to get a couple more verticals up, but I'm not going to worry about really altitude with them. I think I'm just going to put them on that pergola that's right next to the garage. That way it's a really short wire run into the shack, and there's already an outside penetration from the old dish network or you know, DirecTV. And there's a couple of runs of 59 going in there, or 6 or whatever it is. And I've got a quarter wave on one. I've got a VHS quarter wave on one. And I got another feed available, although it's 59, you know, or whatever, 75 ohm. Probably wouldn't make a rat's ass worth of difference in 20-foot run like that. But I've got 3 other posts available there that I can just strap verticals onto. The only downside is that the AC drop is right there and makes me a little bit nervous. But so I bought another tuner. Actually, I've got a couple of indoor tuners. I've got a 949 MFJ, and then I've got the LDC, either the 200 or the 300. Kind of like to get those hooked up to something eventually.
Nice. You want one of these 40-foot towers? You want a couple sections of these to put up next to the house to hold stuff?
No, it's not even worth the effort because I can't go high enough because of the stupid airport. So, not worth the effort. Plus, I don't want to deal with zoning issues and the crazy neighbor, you know. And there's no guarantee how long we're staying. We might be pulling up stakes and moving.
Going farther north or going back south?
Depends. Depends on employment stuff for her. She's not happy where she is, so she's going to be looking. There's a couple possibilities available now, but I don't think it's anything she's going to bite for. I don't think she's really ready. But, I can temp stuff up. I also bought a second auto tuner. I thought it's the earlier Elenco, and I thought it was the exact match to mine, and it's not. It's the connector's different. It's a four wire connector, but the new one that I bought brand new is a 4-pin, 4-wire. The one I bought used at a swap is a 4-wire, 5-pin. So it's probably an easy switch, easy swap, those things are all APU4s anyway. They're all the ICOM auto tuners. I just have to probably ring out the pins and make it work.
Yeah, you can probably figure it out. Yeah, I got a new vertical I want to try for 10, and I got all the stuff for it. I'm going to put it together next week, and next Thursday is the Lance Cruz 10-meter net. I'm going to try it on there because I got a couple of vertical guys I can barely hear there. See if it plays better, but then we'll see if we can talk to those guys down there. I tell you, that guy in Missouri, his name was Dustin. He was 20 over. The guys in Florida, one of them was vertical, one was horizontal. He had a spider beam, the horizontal guy. And he was actually a little louder because I'm running my dipole, of course, trying to tune it on 10 meters. And the other guy, I could hear him too. And he's a truck driver. He runs an ATAS on his truck. And he says, I'm usually here, 28.367. He says, but usually when I pull over at night, I get on 40, 20, you know. He says, I have fun.
I'm 9 miles from Posen. Just went by the sign. And as I progress back north, repeater's back absolutely in the corner, full scale, 60 over. No flutter, no nothing. I might have gained a little ground elevation here, too. Traverse City swap is coming up. I think it's the 22nd, something like that. I'm not that concerned with, you know, getting my swapping done here in the next week. But if the weather's not terrible, you know, I might consider going. There's a couple downstate, too. Grand Rapids followed by Maumee Saturday and Sunday, I think in March, don't really remember, but going to try, depending.
Well, I actually, what was I telling Tim, I think it was the other day, I said, or no, it was Don, WN8IZB, I told him, I said, you know, I'm actually thinking, kind of getting a little giddy about going to Dayton this year. I might actually go this year because, you know, I haven't had any kind of plan or anything to get a new radio. My Pro 3, the Pro 3, as far as a big radio, is the newest one I have, and it's probably 17 years old. And I'm looking for something that has a built-in sound card, and you don't have to have all this external cables and stuff and things to do digital mode and Bluetooth to it and stuff like that. And I don't know, maybe an SDR type radio, I don't know. Anyway, just kind of thought I'd go down there and see what struck me when I look at the booths, you know.
Well, you know, that DX10 is kind of cool. Now I'm in Hawks. I don't go to Hawks very often, although I got a friend that lives here. Lives up on a hill on a lake that I never really get to see. You know, I've got 4 HF radios sitting there on my desk, and out of the 4 of them, I find myself using that little Olenko the most, often because of the tuner arrangement. But my 767, which has got the modules for 262 and 440. It needs HF finals, and it really doesn't make any sense to change them, but I might change them anyway.
Are they, I'm assuming they're solid state?
Yep, and that is all a point-to-point wiring. It's one of those phone book chassis that it's double hinged and it opens. Roger did some work on it for me when I first got it. And he said he never wants to see it again.
That's Roger. Well, W8VO, Clem, one of my neighbors, he brought over his... what was it, FT-1000 Mark something, Mark 5 or whatever it is, MT Mark 5. And he said, you know, it'll stay for a little bit and then it cuts out, it'll shut off. Well, his fan wasn't running, the big fan that was, you know, blowing on the finals. So I said, well, you know, for some reason the board that's supposed to supply power to that, not coming out of that connector. And I said, now, I did find 12 volts on the edge connector on that, you know, and there's a couple screw downs there that I can make it run, but it looks like you got some other kind of problem because that, you know. Anyway, he says, well, yeah, go ahead and do it. So I did it, and it made it run. It would stay on, but he couldn't get it to run, so he's got to send it in.
Isn't that the 200-watt deal?
It is, and it has a 30-volt supply. You know, if you run it on 12 volts, it only does 100 watts. If you run it on 30, which it comes with its own power supply, then you can get 200 out of it. But on the inside, it's got all these little, like, cable collections, you know, where they run a bunch of cables from board to board, and they have them all, like, zip-tied together, and it's like, man, that would would be like playing with spaghetti if you undid those zip ties and stuff. And I said, I don't feel comfortable working on it. And, you know, for I was going to swap them for an old vertical antenna, and it's not worth the hassle, you know.
Well, that 767 is kind of cultish. It was really the very first jack-in-the-box, you know, with a built-in AC supply, and basically all band, all mode. It's, you know, UHF to 160. And it's big and it's heavy, but it's still kind of cool. The display is okay. All the controls are okay. You know, it's only 10 watts all mode on 6.2 and 440, which I don't really need, but okay. I don't have UHF all mode anywhere else. I have VHF a couple other places. But, and then, you know, of course, 6 is, 6 all mode is on a couple of different radios. So, but boy, this repeater's doing really well out here. I mean, I'm probably closer to the Alpina 7.6 than I am to this, and I mean, I haven't looked at ground elevation, but maybe it's a little bit higher, but it's just absolutely banging in.
W8RPM, WJ8R. You sound, alarm clock's going off here. You sound full quieting, I mean, just like you're sitting right in the room. 7.6, do I have that on this machine? I think I do. I think it's, I didn't know. Yeah, here out in that side, that area towards, towards Alpena. I get that one real well here, especially in the wintertime. But this spring is going to be tower time. So when I get to that point, maybe you want to stop by one day and give me some advice on where you think they should be planted.
Well, you can do some halfway propagation studies with a portable just wandering around on the property. Come up with the best compromise, you know, something good for Alpenas, not necessarily good for Sheboygan or Gaylord or whatever. I mean, I guess it just depends what your priorities are, but are you on the Midland, by the way?
No, I need a service monitor to work on the Midland or something. Thing going on with that one. I had it on the dummy load, and it still puts out the power, and everything seems to work fine, but for some reason the transmit cuts in and out. I mean, the audio part of it, it's like it's going out of sync or something. I don't know what it is. They're out of whatever you call it.
Are you getting error messages in the display at all?
Originally I did. I got an E something error, and I don't recall what it was, but I didn't see it when I had it on the bench in the dummy load, but I don't know what's wrong with it. I'll have to figure it out.
Well, I don't think you need a service monitor. I think you need a service manual and a VOM, because that sounds like the PLL is unlocking. So the adjustments in that little tin can, there's a separate one for receive and transmit. And, you know, you can have one can be dead on and the other can be a little off. And they're not terribly forgiving, you know. I thought I had that thing set up to where it was, you know, it worked everywhere that was programmed. But I would bet you money that your E3 error is either on channel 4 or else it's on whatever the highest, you know, frequency is programmed in there. And even though most of the time you will get the, you know, you'll see it in the display, sometimes it's so fast that it doesn't really update, you know. The event will occur, you will see an audio change, you know, you'll lose your transmit will drop out, receive will drop out, but it's so quick that the display doesn't react, so... You just find a service manual and set that the couple of adjustments on the VCO to keep the PLL locked, and your problem will go away. And good, I'm glad to hear that you're not on that radio, because honestly, your audio here is very narrow, very, very narrow, no low end, and... if it was a Midland, I was going to be mad.
No, this is one of the Max tracks. I still have, I gave a couple of them away. I gave them to Don, but I still have a half a dozen of these. And, you know, I'm really disappointed because I had a pristine VHF 32 channel, and I do have a UHF 32 channel, and that one works fantastic. But the VHF, for some reason, that one wasn't working. It wouldn't power up, and I'm like, come on, I know this thing used to work. So I got to get into that one and figure it out, too, and haven't had a lot of spare time. But, yeah, I'll try that with the Midland when I get back. I actually have the hard copy of the manual for it. It tells how to do it and how to take care of it and, you know, set everything up and all the specs and all that. So I can figure it out, but if you think that's what it is, I'll give it a shot.
Yeah, I'm probably 90% convinced that that's what it is. And it's all you need to fix it is a voltmeter. You know, you measure voltage on a particular pin and set it to whatever, you know, 3.7, 4.7, whatever. The thing you got to remember, though, is, you know, you need to do that setting as close to the middle of the band as you possibly can. Because you can get that dead on, and it will still, you know, it'll still unlock on the edges because we're pushing the envelope of what the bandwidth is supposed to be. They do make some wideband versions of those that had a 24 meg VCO spread, but we don't have any of them, and that I'm aware of anyway. The I did pick up some real nice CDMs. I think a couple 754 channels and a couple of 1250s. And then my original 32 channel Maxtrack, 32 channel 40 watt Maxtrack, that sat behind my desk in my office. I got that. So, anyway. All right, I'm pulling up where I need to be. I won't be here long. I'll give you a yell when I'm back in the car. WARPM.
All right, I'll catch you in a bit. I'm just playing with radios. WJ8R.
JSL, can you hear me, Tom? A little scratchy, but I hear you. I hear you. I mean, we can hear you good enough to talk to you. Just a little